Hey, what's up to all my freelancers and creators out there? This is Nathan with another episode of Freelance Jumpstart TV. And in this video, we're going to talk about value-based pricing, part two. In the last episode, we talked about value-based pricing, not only an introduction to value-based pricing, but also certain questions that you can ask your clients to uncover value and start you down that road of the process of value-based pricing. Value-based pricing goes beyond just asking surface-level questions. It's not simply a client coming to you with a request and then you complying with that request. You have to be willing to go deeper. Ask the client certain questions about why they're coming to you right now and what does success look like? What does failure look like? How is their business going to be made better once you get the deliverables handed off to them? Those are the type of things and the type of path you want to take to go deeper to uncover what that true value is. If you're wondering what type of exact questions to ask, in the last episode, I mentioned what those questions are. Not only that, but I did create a guide that you can check out, look at, download, overview and review those questions, look them over and adapt them to how your process is. Adapt them and work them in to when you first have the initial client meeting to start going down the path of value-based pricing to see if it'll work for them. That brings us to the point to where we are now, the second part of value-based pricing. So once again, we talked about you need to understand what the problem is, then you need to understand your cost, and then you need to move on to presenting the solution. So we're gonna get into understanding the cost. That cost is not only your cost, you know, as a consultant, or your cost as a designer, your cost as a freelancer, but it's also what does it cost to your client? So you're really gonna have to start digging in and asking some more questions about the business and the revenue of the business to really find out what will it cost if you don't solve this business problem for them, but also what will they gain once you have the deliverable? The next step assumes that you uncovered value in the first session. Not only uncovered value, but you were able to build some type of trust with the client and they know that you actually care about the business and you don't only care about getting money from them. That being said, it can lead you into the type of questions you need to ask now. You need to start asking more questions about the business, far as how much money does a business make? How much does it make a month? How many customers or clients do they get in a year? And then you break that down to how many do they get in a day? How many do they get in a month? You really just need to do the math to find that out. And what we're trying to uncover is how their business is operating prior to you solving what that business problem is. So for example, in the past, I've done this with web design. So someone has come to me and said they want a website remake, they want a makeover, just because they want to freshen their brand, but they also want to reach more people. So I can't always ask them how much money they made. Sometimes I can, but in that case, to where I can't ask about something that's monetary, I ask about, well, how many website visitors are you getting? So I just try to create a preliminary picture of how their business looks prior to me doing anything. So you can call it a pre-snapshot before you really dig into the deliverables of what you're gonna present as the solution to value-based pricing. So whatever that is, like I said, it could be a financial upside. You know, the fact that, okay, right now they make $3,000 a month, but afterwards you envision they can make $4,000 a month. Whatever it may be, however you wanna add it up, focus on something to where you can quantify and show an increase, whether it's brand perception or whether it is just people respecting them more, but you have to find some type of numeric base. Not always, but that's the best route to take so you can prove an increase in numbers. So moving on from there, the first thing you're gonna have to do is research. And what you're doing is you're looking into various solutions to see if they fit and work best into solving the problem that you defined in part one. So on behalf of the client, you're looking at different options, you're comparing different things, you may go back and find out some more information about their business. As I mentioned, you may look at how much money they're getting or how many clients they get, and you're trying to anchor that into some type of financial upside or an upside in productivity or saving money. Perhaps you're building something or you're working with them and it holds value because they're going to save time, right? So then you need to capture for them how much time does that take. But you're doing research and finding out what solution is going to work for them or what number of solutions is going to work for your client. While doing that research, time yourself for everything. Time yourself for every little thing you do, whether you're doing research and it involves looking on Google, if you have to look on Wikipedia, if you have to look and compare, if you have to call other companies to see if they've had similar problems, how you can work with them, any phone calls, emails, or extra client meetings you need to have for clarification, you want to time yourself for everything. And the reason you're doing that is value-based pricing is a process. So maybe the first couple of times when you go through it, you may not have it all the way down, but you're timing yourself really to find out how long does it really take you to compile different options before you can present a solution, right? So you're going to present a solution and then get the client to agree with that, and then you're going to start building. So that's what's coming next. But at this phase, it's all about research and finding out viable solutions for the client. But you must time yourself for everything. You might be thinking, why am I timing myself for everything? Because you have to value the time you're investing up front when we haven't even got to the proposal phase. We haven't even got to the point to where you're presenting the solution and getting them to sign on the dot for you to begin the work. But you have to time yourself because you have to also think about it and ask, if you find a solution that is maybe going to be very time consuming, then it really might not be worth, you know, value-based pricing because of this right here. Let's just say you have an hourly rate of $50 an hour. You maybe had an hourly rate and you've done work for that price, but you're comfortable with saying my time is worth $50 an hour. So if as you're researching and doing certain things and looking into things and you come upon a solution that may be good for the client, but it may be time consuming, you're really gonna have to think about it and say, I'm timing myself for everything. My rate is 50 an hour. Have I spent 10 hours on this? Have I spent 12 hours on this? And if so, then you really have to think about it, because if you spent 12 hours on it and you valued your time at $50 an hour, then at that point, you really have to sit and think, can I actually charge the client more than $1,000? Can I charge them more than $6,000? If not, then you really will get to that point, like I said, more than 6,000 to, if you can't charge that, you really get to that point to where you say, I'm actually losing money working with this. So time is a valuable asset in value-based pricing, but it's something definitely you need to think about, which is why I suggest that you should time yourself for everything. As you're timing yourself for everything, including the research you're doing to find a viable solution, now you need to get to the point to where you arrive at what solution will work best for the client. And I recommend getting two different solutions to present to them. One may be over the top and definitely solve the problem, and a few other things that you found that they may have in their business, a few other issues that you want to solve for as well, besides the main one they came with. And the second solution may be the same thing, but perhaps not as time consuming for you. So you may be able to charge a little less for that price. So you have what you really want, but then you have something that is a little less, but it still solves the problem for them. That's the whole goal. Two solutions that still solve the problem, but they have different angles to them. Here's a real life example of that. Someone came to me and mentioned that they wanted a blog. They wanted to start blogging and putting themselves out there and eventually sell things and gain notoriety online. Now, I could treat this as value-based pricing, but they really haven't got their business going yet, but I still thought about it through the lens of value-based pricing. So their value really is a website that they can call their own in which they can blog and really get their name out there. So that takes a bit of content marketing, but that also just takes, they do need a website. Now, I could have taken them down the path that said, let me build you a custom website. I'm gonna use WordPress. I'm gonna do everything custom, and it's gonna cost you at least $7,000. And then they could have started blogging and moved on down the road. But that's one option. So that's option one. It solves the problem and it gets it done. Option two is maybe they're not to that point yet. Maybe they really need to build a following first and then get a website. So perhaps I just recommend that they use a blogging service, or perhaps I recommend a website template or just something smaller. I recommend it to them. It still solves their problem, but instead I'm coaching them along the way. I'm teaching them about content marketing, or I'm teaching them how to be a better writer and getting them connected to better resources. Those are two separate things. As I mentioned, one is strictly custom. The other may already exist out there, and I'm acting as a consultant and really empowering them to get it done themselves. So those are two options that I had, and I presented both of those to the client. But that's what I mean by this step. The second step is all about understanding the cost. What does it cost you as far as your time to create and deliver the solution, but also what are the benefits to the client once you present both solutions? You know, they need to have the benefit of solving the problem, but also you need to have a return on investment somehow. So thank you for checking out this video on part two of value-based pricing. As I mentioned, it's a process. Understand the problem. At this point, understand your cost. And next, we're going to get into presenting the solution. If you really want another example of me doing this in action, definitely check out the video called What's It Worth? Check out that episode. That's where I talked with my friend and I showed him different finances about his business to where he really needed to pay me more, and it was obvious that he wouldn't be losing money by paying me. I definitely showed him, look, this is how much your business gets a month. Even if you pay a certain amount to me, you'll easily make that up in a couple of months. You know, that's what you want to present in two. You really want to get to the point to where you anchor what you're about to present to them in some type of benefit, right? And you need to show them in their business how they can gain that back so they feel like you're a partner and not someone who's just trying to get money from them. As always, thanks again for checking out this particular episode. I greatly appreciate it. This is part two of value-based pricing. You're going to want to subscribe so you can get future videos and continue on this mini series that we're on. But also check out the show notes for this particular episode. I definitely give a concrete example of finding certain ways and finding certain things you can do to create a financial upside for your client so that when you come in the next step of presenting the solution, you can anchor and show them, hey, this is the work I'm gonna do for you. This is how much it costs. However, I've looked at your business, and because of the benefits you're gonna get, you'll easily make this up in 3 weeks. So just building confidence in the fact that they can pay you what you're worth and what you're producing is gonna get them the return they're looking for. But that's all coming next, and it's gonna come all together in the next video. You're gonna wanna be subscribed for that and check out the show notes just to get an overall broad understanding of that. Well, until the next one, I'll see you later. Peace.